Alright, let's go to the book of Genesis. First book in the Bible. Page 20 on mine. That'd be chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Actually, we're going to go to chapter 12. That's going to blow away. So chapter 12, then we're going to back up. But it's, I titled this, Incomplete Obedience. In other words, it's not just total obedience. It's not just total disobedience. But it's incomplete obedience. It's sort of like you're heading in the right direction, but just not totally. You are and you ain't. So let me ask you a question. Is that kind of like a black lie and a white lie? Either way you look at it, it's a lie, right? So either way you look at it, I guess it'd be disobedience. But that's what we're calling it. Incomplete obedience. Verse 1 of Genesis 12 says, Now the Lord had, H-A-D, that means He had already said something. Had said, and I ain't even an English scholar, but I knew that one. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, remember, and I've said this to you before, every time you see a Jew, or Hebrew, whatever you want to call them, every time you see the name Israel, every time you read Israel in the news, or see it on the news, you know 100% that God kept His promise to Abraham, which is right there in Genesis chapter 12. Now, if you didn't hear about Israel, if there wasn't no Hebrews, you could say God's a liar. But nonetheless, that right there is proof. God keeps His promises. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, when you first read this, Abram done everything God said, didn't he? Packed up and left. But, you got to back up a few verses. In chapter 11, verse 31, it says, And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, and his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So, there's a problem. Abraham was told to leave Ur. He was told to leave everybody at home, except his wife, of course. But he didn't. His dad went with him. His dad was a very wicked person. His dad was into idolatry. He went with him. Lot went with him, and they ended up in Haran. And while they're in Haran, as we saw in chapter 12, verse 5, he gathered a lot more stuff before he left to go to the land of Canaan. Granddaughters, she's singing. Oh, she may be preaching. This is scary. So, Abraham did not do what he was supposed to do to start out with. He did, but he didn't. So he ended up, when he left Ur, he ended up in Haran because he had all these tag-alongs with him. And he took them and he stopped in Haran, and he did what in Haran? Really don't tell us. Apparently he wasted a lot of years right there in Haran. Verse 32 of chapter 11, "And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Now, I didn't do all the figures, and really nobody could tell me the stuff I read of how long they were there, but I'd say they were there for several years to gather up a bunch of stuff. Now, unless you're married to somebody like I am, it takes a while to gather stuff. My wife could gather stuff quickly. She's giving me that look. I can't even park in the garage no more. I said, garage is just a thought. But anyway, I got her attention. They gathered a bunch of stuff. So they were there for a while. They were there for several years. That's wasted years. That's wasted time. That he could have been serving the Lord. Not only that, think about this. When Abraham did leave, he went down to the land of Canaan. He built an altar. I'm going to hand that to him. He put the Lord first. And he built an altar. But then there was a famine in the land, so he packed on up and went on down to Egypt, which was a real problem. If he had have done what God said when God said do it, he might have been prepared for the famine already that came along. Because I'd say the Lord would have said, "Hey Abraham, you need to back some stuff up in the freezer, because we're going to have a famine here pretty quick. You know? Get you one of them big Sears and Roebuck and pack her full." But the problem is, he didn't listen. Not totally. Now, I know we're not guilty of that, are we? Good. Nobody said amen. But wasted years, it's a terrible thing. Really, it really is. I wasted a lot of years because I was listening to God, but I still wasn't quite listening to God. I was taking the steps in that direction, but I wasn't really going that direction. You kind of just kind of meander out through the parking lot and the door's over there. You know, that's kind of what I was doing. And if we ain't careful, we can do that, we'll waste a lot of years. Number two, incomplete obedience not only wastes time and wastes years, but it impairs our thinking. Messes with you. Messes with the way we're to do things. So let's go to 1 Samuel, because there's a couple of things I want to do in 1 Samuel. But go over to the book of 1 Samuel. There's a guy over there that he's really a special fellow. The Lord anointed this man king. His name is Saul. Saul was a godly man. Saul was a good guy. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, he was, I don't know, he had a good heart. But Samuel was the prophet, and I won't read all of this for sake of time. But chapter 15, Samuel tells him, he says, "You go down to the Amalekites and you kill them all. Kill them all. But not only kill them, you know, all the humans, man, woman, child, the whole nine yards. That sounds horrible. But that's what God said, do. He said, not only that, though, kill all the animals. Don't take anything. Get rid of it. Do away with it. But you're going to notice in verse 9, well, verse 8, he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Then also in verse 9, it says, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. He done what he said to do. He went down there and destroyed them. Well, not quite, but part of the way. He had incomplete obedience. He was going in the right direction. He was serving the Lord. He was a good king. He was anointed of God. But he didn't do what God said to do. Not all of it. He done part of it. See, there's too many times we're guilty of doing part of it. But some things got in his way. Pride, jealousy, anger later in his years. You read from here on over that he had it in for a certain young man whose name was David. He decided, hey, I'm going to kill him. I'm jealous of him. David had been anointed king later after this. But Saul was going in the right direction until he made some bad choices. He made a choice not to obey God wholly. And it drug him down into the bottom of a pit. Saul even sought help from somebody. Wasn't God. You see, we need to turn over to... Well, I didn't even mark it. I'm getting bad as you, Philip. Ah, verse 28. See, back there in chapter 15, Samuel said, hey, Saul, because you've done wrong, rebellion, you've rebelled, you've sinned against the Lord willfully, and because of this, you've done this, God has rent the kingdom from you. In other words, he's taken the kingdom from you. Well, Saul gets a bad attitude. He already went against God. Which, listen, when we don't totally do what the Lord says, it causes problems in our life in different stages. It goes into the, I mentioned pride, went into jealousy. Samuel died. Well, Saul needs to talk to somebody because the Philistines have come up against him to attack him. Saul knows God's done give up on me. Let me ask you a question. Can God give up on a child of God? Yeah, he can. Saul was a saved man. I'm going to prove that to you here in a minute. There's some people that say Saul went to hell. No, he didn't. Saul died and went to paradise. But God said, you know what, I'm done with you. You ain't listening to me no more. You're not doing what I want you to do. You're not serving wholly. You're just meandering, wishy-washing around. But Saul got down into the bottom of a pit. And the reason we know that is because of who he sought. Verse 7 of 28 of 1 Samuel. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. In other words, find me a witch, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me a familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. Oh, wait a minute. She said, hey, I ain't doing this because Saul sent an order out to kill all of us. All of us that work with the demons, the witches. He sent out an order to kill whoever that is. Verse 10, and Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up to thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Oh, the prophet. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. He said, bring me up Samuel. And she's like, really? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've always read this and I've heard it preached. Oh, no, that really wasn't Samuel. I think it is. I think God allowed this woman, and I'm going to show you why, but I think God allowed this woman, well, not really, saw, God brought Samuel up. It scared her. That old hag saw Samuel, and she was like, oh, God. She was a fake. She'd been dealing with the crystal balls or whatever and doing her little... But hey, this was real and she knew it. It scared this woman. She cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. She knew right off. You're Saul. Samuel done showed up. I'm in big trouble. That's what she's thinking. Oh, I done messed up. I don't blame her. I'd have been thinking, I'd have run. But and the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God descending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed for the Philistines to make war against me. And God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. I need help. God ain't talking to me. You help me. Samuel says this to him. Wherefore then dost thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Now, Saul, because of his disobedience or his incomplete obedience, finally stooped low enough that he went to the other side of the spiritual realm to get his answers. That's sad. It you know, a Christian could do that. He was a godly man. Like I said, he's in heaven. That's what incomplete obedience will do. When we're not serving the Lord wholeheartedly, we waste time. But not only that, it starts impairing our thought patterns. Start getting in the way. You know, evil's good and good's evil. All that kind of mess. Messes everything up. He said 18, Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow, now listen carefully, look what it says. And tomorrow shalt you and thy sons be with what? Me. Who's me? Samuel. Saul and Jonathan and his other brother, they died that day. Listen, they ended up going to paradise. By the way, anybody that tells me that people commit suicide, go to hell, are stupid. I don't get it how a person can really get down to that point of taking their own life. But guess who took his own life? Which one of these three? Saul, Jonathan, or his other son? I can't pronounce his name. Saul did. Saul didn't get killed by the Philistines. He put his sword on the ground and put the sharp end right here and fell on it. He took his own life. But Samuel said, "Today you'll be with me." Samuel was in paradise. But see, you can get so far gone, so far in disobedience, and it starts out with just a little bit. Lord says, "Hey, do this." And we do that, but we vary off here or there. Well, then something else comes up and we vary off a little more. Then before long, we get way out there. And then we go do something like Saul did. Find a witch. Good grief. I've been bad off, but praise the Lord, and Lord willing, I won't get so bad off I go find a witch to tell me what I need to do. But then it got to the point, he took his own life. The last thing. We got to turn pages again. Go to 2 Samuel. Not very far. Chapter 11. This is a familiar. David is king. Saul's dead. David took the kingdom like he's supposed to. He's king. He's supposed to be out bragging with all the other kings. But we know the story. He took his armor off. He sat down, relaxed. Sat down on his couch up there on the rooftop, laid back. Might have been smoking on a stogie, I don't know. I'm not sure what all they did back then. He's sitting there relaxed, enjoying life. Man, this is good. I got a good kingdom. Things are going well. Got my nice house. Check that out. And he sees a woman. Boy, he's king. Good grief. He runs the whole country. I want her. And he takes her. So we know that story. But look what God said. Verse 27. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. That's a sad statement. You know, he took Bathsheba, had her husband murdered, and you never read once that he thought, "Boy, I've messed up. I need to repent of that." You know, when I mess up and do something stupid, and occasionally I do, don't say amen, Sandy. I do. You know, all of a sudden it's like, what was I thinking? That was dumb. That was just flat out sin and wrong. And I drop down and ask forgiveness. I'm like, "Lord, I'm sorry. Man, that was stupid of me. I shouldn't have done that." Child of God shouldn't be thinking that way or acting that way. But I never read where David did that. David saw Bathsheba. Listen, David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? Bible says so. But he looks down, sees Bathsheba. It was one thing to look at her. But then he took her. Then he ended up killing her husband. Basically called, he wrote a letter to Joab and said, "Hey, put him up there in the hot. And just as soon as it gets going, all you guys back away and leave him standing there." That's sorry. Now, you might get mad at Joab, but Joab's another story. He was kind of a problem fella too. But you see how fast David went downhill? Because of incomplete obedience. He was supposed to be out there serving the Lord as king, not laid back with his feet propped up. But he wasn't doing everything. And it went from lust to "I'm going to have her, go get her," to having her. Actual, not lust anymore, actual adultery. Then it went into lies. Then it went into getting a man drunk. And then it ended up, he set him up so he'd get murdered. Man, it goes downhill quick. And what scared me with it was David didn't see anything wrong until somebody confronted him. Nathan shows up and tells him a little story. Oh, and he got angry. And then Nathan says, "You the dude. All I have sinned." You know, but see, that's what it does to you. When I was reading and studying all this, I'm flopping back and forth and I'm like, wow. You know, we need to be careful when we know the Lord has given us a direction. We need to stick with that direction. Because not only does it cost us, it costs David. David, when he realized that, oh, he'd been caught, guess what? Well, he went into a panic, because in those days, whoever did what all he done was supposed to be stoned to death. Even the king. God forgave him. Boy, ain't you glad God's got forgiveness. Because listen, there ain't a day goes by that we all walk a perfect life. But when we literally, when we step out there with the intention, if we don't get it right then, he goes downhill from there. You see, he's sitting on the couch. Oh man, she's cute. Listen, if he had got it together, he could have said, "Whoa, what am I doing? Man, let me get my armor on and get out of here." Well, yeah, but he went too far. Listen, Joseph did it. Potiphar's wife come in there to Joseph, grabbed him and said, "Lay with me, baby." And he's like, "Nah!" And out the door he ran. That's what we got to do. We got to get out of here. But David didn't. David says, same problem Saul did. Saul walked into the Amalekite, killed all of them, grabbed up Agag, held on to Agag, and then got to looking around and said, hey, look at all this. Man, that's a good looking sheep out here. Good looking oxen. We'll take him, sacrifice him to the Lord. Oh, he'll be happy over that one. Oh, and look at all this gold. Ooh, that's what we want to do. Listen, Israel didn't need all that. Israel had God. But see, that's what happens. When we don't stop and say, oh, boy, we got a problem, and immediately ask for forgiveness, then it starts piling up. And then before long, what you were doing don't look so bad. And the Lord just, He backs up. And you just start, and the devil starts saying, well, yeah, you deserve that. What, God don't mind. He's more than happy to help you out. Incomplete obedience. You know, you can have wasted years, or you can be serving. But not only, as I mentioned, does it cause problems for you. Listen, David's household was never a settled household. It had problems from then on. It said the sword was upon his house. He had sons got murdered. He had a daughter got raped by her brother. It was all kind of stuff going on. He had one son, took over his kingdom. You know, it affects us. So, you know, what I got out of this, mainly when I was studying, is when I know that the Lord tells me to do something, and I know beyond shadow of a doubt that's what I'm to do, then I need to do it. And I need to do it wholeheartedly. And follow what He says do. And He'll bless you for it. Let the Lord give you guidance. I'm thinking two people right now just come to my mind with guidance. Two guys, one named Abraham and one named Lot. They were both rich, had flocks, people working for them. And Abraham let the Lord choose for him, and Lot chose for himself. And Lot turned into a mess. But Abraham was a blessed man because he allowed God to guide him. And he followed that guidance. Yeah, he messed up every now and then. We all do. But he's known as a friend of God. So make sure that you follow in the Lord's guidance and do everything He says do. If He says, hey, I want you to go to Honduras. Well, go to Honduras. It ain't the best place in the world. I can't even speak the language. Well, I could enough to get me in trouble. You know, but really and truly, when the Lord gives you a direction, go that route. But seek His guidance, not just the big decisions. Seek it for everything of your life. And you'll be blessed for it. Sister Judy, you come up.